Get ready.
Kind of snarky, sarcastic, but because it was a kid's show, it was kind of dumb.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's one point where Casey Jones, who's basically the main character of this, like, it's not the turtles, the main characters, it's Casey, but he's asking them, like, about their kung fu, and Raphael says something to the effect of, like, "Kung fu, do we look like pandas to you?"
Oh my gosh, in a reference to that movie that had a panda in it. It's the greatest joke ever.
So did Michael Bay actually
write
the script?
Definitely the greatest pain I've ever felt.
It's up there.
What, John?
Josh, did Michael Bay actually write the script, or does he just direct this thing?
I'm not really sure. I think he just directed it. This doesn't sound like Michael Bay wrote it, because I'm about, like, 50 pages into it right now, and there has been no explosions.
Huh. Well, I'm sure he'll fix that once it gets to the director.
That's going to be fixed in post-production.
You know, this does not sound like anything like Eastman would have written it.
Well, speaking of which, Peter Laird actually read the script, and he went on a rant about how disgusted he was and how glad he's not part of the franchise anymore.
Honestly, I'd like to find out who wrote the script and just, I don't know, fucking Falcon punch his throat.
Steve, you can't get mad at an inexperienced freshman at college is trying to write an actual script that they're dumb enough to take. It's not, dude, you don't want to get mad at the writer. You want to get mad at the person to say, yeah, let's approve of this script, because they're more retarded than the writer itself.
True.
I think it was not
approved. Take your anger out on the wrong person.
The guy who approved it deserves a Falcon punch to the Adam's apple. And then to his fucking berries.
I think Josh said it was not approved.
Hollywood media thing, and they're going to be all up in arms against you because you're fighting their system, which they need a good lesson.
Maybe they should go ahead and actually double back, take their heads out of their fucking asses, and take a lead from what fucking Nickelodeon's doing with the series, the way it should have fucking been done. Oh, I don't know, like 20 years ago, just like the way Eastman did it with the comics. Oh, holy fuck, that would be an idea, wouldn't it? Boo.
Steve, we're not adequate enough to work for Hollywood because our heads aren't up our asses.
Speak for yourself. I've had my head up my ass for so long. I can't.
That's a prerequisite. You're not a real corporate whore until you've got the scent and the taste of someone else's ass.
You're right. Michael Bay hasn't been over here yet to go ahead and do a double reach around and leave a Burger King coupon on my bedside. You're absolutely right.
It's called losing your humanity, just like anybody else who wants to move up to the corporate ladder.
Hermaphrody? What?
Humanity, man. That's why I never took a promotion in my last job, because it was all about butt kissery. And I'm like, I don't want to taste your butt. No, I'm not sucking up to anybody, especially not you, fat douchebag. Or tall douchebag.
Oh, man.
I did not want to talk about my last job.
We're not really recording this, are we? We're not, like, recording it, are we?
Yeah.
We are?
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, wow.
It's a great lead-in from ranting about Hollywood and how they can't do anything and never have been for the past two decades.
Honestly, then, people who are listening to this podcast do not see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles when it comes out in the theaters. This looks like a big, fat pile of shit.
Got to push to 2014, apparently. Like, wait, did the script get leaked after it was canned or before?
After.
Okay, that makes...
2014?
That's the rumored date. It may be longer than that. Who knows?
Fuck, like we'll be here. Shit. What the fuck do we care?
You say that now. And then the day the movie comes out, you're going to be drinking heavily. Like, why am I still alive?
No, no, no. 2012, man. December 21st. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
The day...
Given the choice between having to die horribly due to prophecy and having to watch a Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I'm okay with the apocalypse. That'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yep. Like I said, Nicolas Cage had it right in that movie, knowing. Have you ever just thought about it? I mean, here we are in the middle of this, like nationwide heat wave. Nationwide, not just it's up here on the West Coast and the East Coast is kind of like cooling down and everything. It's the whole fucking nation, dude. There are parts in Europe that are boiling. I mean, just in the UK right now, in the UK, 76 degrees and it's 5 o'clock in the fucking morning, just about.
Wait, that's no different than the temperature here in the South, man. That's no different than the temperature in Texas
in
for the past
the
50
morning,
years.
Before the sun is even up.
It's still technically summer.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, but you're not getting the whole big picture here. There should be some nice, cool areas, okay? There should be some nice, cool, you know, hey, check it out. It's like 68, 72. It's nice, you know. It's maybe like 61. Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah.
You realize that it's still August, and usually August is about the hottest part of the year, regardless of whatever time of day it is.
And what part of the globe it's at? Are you serious?
Okay, just in this northern hemisphere of America.
What about Australia?
It's supposed to be winter there, but isn't their environment already screwed up from global warming and colony drops by this point?
Get out of my mind. Quit talking to my writers, damn it. That was my line.
We've made so many cracks in Australia. It's like, it's a given.
Raise your hand if upon hearing Australia, you didn't immediately think colony drop.
Exactly.
I'm talking to you, listeners.
Oh,
you ready to get this started?
I looked it up and it's only 63 in Sydney right now.
God damn, I wish I'd... No, I don't. I was going to say I wish I lived there right now, but no, I don't.
It's probably pretty nice.
Yeah, but it proves my point.
Where their weekly activities is going to the Thunderdome and getting the gasoline.
And getting the ultralight into the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that would be a movie. That's going to be in... what is it? Road Rage.
That's the new Mad Max movie?
Yeah.
But they're filming it in, like, Africa. But, I mean, I guess they could say it's Australia because we're not going to know the difference. Max took, like, 20 years to get to Australia with this car somehow.
I had to fly over with that piece of shit that they salvaged from Thunderdome.
Well, no, his car got trashed in The Road Warrior.
Oh, you're talking about his Charger.
Yeah, like in Thunderdome, he had the wagon of like camels pulling all of, like the rest of his crap he's collected in like 20 years, and then he loses all that at the cave, or maybe he went back and got it or something. I don't know. They never explained that.
Yeah, I know. All right.
That's called thinking into too deep about a Mel Gibson movie.
Now, is it really going to be Mel Gibson starring in this again?
No, it's someone else.
What, really?
Is it somebody else is going to play his role?
Who'd they recast him as?
What?
I thought it was someone else.
No. He's not. He's actually pretty fit still.
Does he still get work, though, even though he's, like, racist? I mean, I know there are a lot of people who hate him now.
He's racist?
I don't know if Mel Gibson is... I don't know what his personal problems actually are. I know that there's a...
I don't even know if he knows what his personal problems are.
there's a bad public perception of him, so it might be difficult to cast him in a leading role right now.
Yeah. That's just whatever his agent's telling him. It's like, no,
oh, no, he's not
misunderstood.
Is he still pulling this Charlie Sheen?
I think
after that
happened
like years ago, like we really haven't heard too much from Mel Gibson. He's just laying it low and being chill.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I've seen him on TV within the past like 2 years, he's been pretty, I don't know, pretty sane.
Yeah, maybe he, you know, he learned his lesson probably. So.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah.
That stuff just has a tendency to stick with people.
Okay, well, you know, honestly, there are going to be people out there that are going to be like that. That will be haters and will always be haters because they can't go ahead and just finally be like, oh, okay, well, let's move on. You know, some of his stuff is, you know, some of his later stuff is cool and everything. And, you know, I guess we can go ahead and do some forgiveness. You know, but there's going to be people out there be like, oh, fuck you, whatever, blah, 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 and keep a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah,
don't even get me involved in that one because honestly,
we can't get involved. We should really move on to this week's topic. Cause of Wicked
really,
City. I mean,
yeah,
we're not talking about Wicked
Ninja
City.
Scroll.
Ninja Scroll, yeah.
What? Yeah, Ninja thank Scroll. You. It's pretty much pre Wicked City at this point.
Pre
well, Wicked City is the cherry on the delicious sundae.
Did we talk about Demon City Shinjuku?
No, we haven't yet.
That's another thing we need to talk about, too, you know.
You know, honestly, Demon City Shinjuku is kind of like, it doesn't stand out.
Awesome.
I don't know, it just doesn't stand out like Ninja Scroll or Wicked City or Cyber City 080 to me. It's not a bad film, it just doesn't stand out as well. I mean, I own it. I mean, I'm glad that I own it, but it's like if I had to show someone a Kawajiri film, that's not the first on my list. That'd be like something like, okay, we'll watch the rest of this stuff, and here's Lensman, and here's The Running Man, and here's Highlander, and I guess we can watch Demon City Shinjuku.
What about that Birdie thing?
Birdie the Mighty?
Yeah, that thing. Is that good?
I don't know. I've only seen one episode of the original Birdie the Mighty anime, and then he didn't have anything to do with the new Birdie the Mighty that they made, so...
Yeah.
Well, he did work on the XTV series, which I still got to see. I think that's still on Netflix.
Did he not also do X the Movie? Because X the Movie is not there.
No, I think David told me that it was Rintaro that did X the Movie.
Okay. Because X the Movie is not very good. X the TV show, I've heard, is supposed to be all right.
Yeah, like, well, the movie is that compilation of the manga, and, like, if you haven't read the manga, you watch the movie and you're completely confused, like I was. And yet, I own copies of it for some reason.
Yeah, that movie might make more sense if I came in already knowing everything that I need to know, but watching that movie flat, you won't have any idea.
Yeah, like, a lot of people did when they came out 15 years ago or whenever.
Yeah.
It's like watching either the movie and then watching either the TV series.
Yeah, so like unless you knew the manga, which came out first, then you're not going to understand the movie.
Yep.
Wait, so is the movie like a continuation of the TV show?
Man, I don't know.
Oh.
I know nothing.
The movie
about it.
Is about giant geometric shapes, and there's a lot of blood everywhere.
Well, no, then your mom pulls a sword out of her like mouth or stomach and says, "Here, go save the world." That was my first reaction from that movie, and I went, "What am I watching?" What is this? And I stuck it through, and I was still confused. Though not as confused as watching End of Evangelion, which I don't know if you two have seen that yet.
The End of Eva?
No, I have.
You saw it already?
Yeah, he saw End of Eva.
That was a while ago.
Did it ruin your weekend? Because it usually does that.
I think we finished watching the movie, turned off what we were watching it on, and just went on and started doing other stuff and didn't talk about it anymore.
I showed one of my brother's friends that film after he was like, "Oh man, I really want to watch End of Eva because I watched the Eva series," and I said, "Okay, well, it's going to ruin your weekend, just be forewarned." And during the whole movie, I'm just back there work building a Gundam model kit because I've seen it 3 times already. And he's just like, "Dustin, what's going on?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know.
Can't help you.
Someone has explained this to me, and that was really years ago, and it doesn't stick, and I just kind of forget it." And then and I'm like, "All right, well, Jacob, that's going to ruin your weekend, but let's go watch something else." And then I put in Wicked City. And he said that movie made perfect sense to him.
Well, Wicked City is, I mean, it's a little fucked up, but it's pretty straightforward.
Plot-wise, yeah. We got to talk about Ninja Scroll.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We're crossing that line a bit too quick. So, man, I guess I could do an introduction, but man, F it.
We're 15 minutes.
Ninja Scroll is a big deal. Was, I don't know if it still is, but at the time, it was a big deal for American side anime fans.
It's really the perfect movie to watch. Like, what flaws do you see in Ninja Scroll? I see nothing wrong with it.
Oh, there really is nothing wrong with it. It's everything you want it to be at all times.
It's everything you want it to be, even if you didn't think it, even if stuff you didn't think it would be in the movie that you wanted it to be.
Yeah, I think you can watch Ninja Scroll and find at least, even no matter who you are and what your tastes are, I think you can watch Ninja Scroll and find something to enjoy in it.
Check out the link down below, guys, in the chat area.
Another YouTube link?
Oh, yeah. That one that I just said there, right there.
It might pull up on my computer as we're doing this podcast.
Maybe.
Lunatic Resurrection?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to remember that.
Oh, I haven't seen Ninja Resurrection yet, so I better close this.
Oh, no, yeah.
I remember stuff about that. It was originally brought over to America, and it was intended to be sold as a sequel to Ninja Scroll, but it wasn't. It was just stupid.
I've had that movie on DVD for 3 years, and I still haven't seen it yet. So it's on my shelf of soon-to-be-watched stuff eventually. But
stuff I'll get around to.
Yeah.
20 years later.
Yeah, that's the truth. So yeah, Ninja Scroll. It's about a guy named Jubei who is pretty much, I guess you could say it's kind of like the whole Man with No Name kind of style Western movies with Clint Eastwood, but he does have a name, and he's a samurai, and he goes around killing women with snakes out of the gooches and slicing immortal men. So this is kind of like half Highlander, actually.
Yeah,
kind of.
Especially, yeah, except that when Gemma gets his head cut off, he just sort of brushes that off, puts it back on, and goes back to what he was doing.
Yeah, but no, like, it was great, like, when they showed the flashback of, like, his head being decapitated, and he's got that look of, like, holy crap, I'm decapitated, like, as his body's going further away from his head.
He just really wasn't expecting that. You're just that, you know, masterminded a scheme to destroy some government rebels. I don't really remember what the plan there was, but you know, you're just riding along in the middle of a snowstorm and all of a sudden, kaka, samurai sword.
Whatcha? I was watching that with Josh and John. I was just like, dude, did you guys notice that guy Gemma's reaction of him being decapitated? I was like, crap, like, this is a movie that I kind of forget some things about, and I go back and watch it, and I'm like, oh, man, this is so great.
Oh, I know. There are certain things that stick out of my head, like Stone Guy and Bee Guy and Jubei killing Bomb Lady,
yeah,
which like, might be the sweetest thing in the movie, and that is not something I say very easily.
Something out of, like, a Metal Gear Solid game. Like, the Bee Guy was, like, the Bee Guy from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Oh, yeah, but there's also references to Read or Die as well.
But Read or Die came after this, right?
Yeah.
I don't know when Read or Die was made.
I don't know. I've never seen it. I actually only found out about it recently.
It was on Adult Swim, like, ages ago.
It was?
But they only showed the movies, so the OVA part.
And
they
never really showed the series. Yeah, the three-part OVA series.
Yeah, they'll take OVAs and make it into, like, a two-hour movie block. That's how they did it. That's how they confused people.
Yeah, they never showed Read or Die the TV, which that was on Sci-Fi for a while. I remember that.
On the Anna Monday block?
I don't remember if it was on that. There was just, I remember seeing a Read or Die the TV show on Sci-Fi for a time.
I think they had
it'd
it
be
on,
like a month to finish that.
Didn't they have it on G4 too?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Maybe I meant that and not Sci-Fi.
Let's not get started on G4, please. That's the topic.
The only thing I could say about back when G4 used to show anime, it was impossible to watch because they would show 2 minutes and then there'd be a commercial break for like 5 minutes.
No, that's the sci-fi channel science of showing something.
Yeah.
Of showing anime. It was that same exact thing.
So they could draw out the sponsorship and everything. It's all about it's all about the money. It was never about the.
And they would never show the credits at the end. It would be like, all right, let's window it and then show this other sci-fi show we've been promoting for 20 times in the past 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Because you have to see the next episode of Face Off.
Yeah.
Or Lost Girl. Totally,
completely. I mean, honestly, two things that have pissed me off in the past decade. One, sci-fi and Comcast fucking up. And then Tech TV becoming G4, and then G4 becoming reality show during the fucking day. I mean, honestly, seriously, look at it. I mean, G4 isn't even a gamer's channel anymore. It's not. It's not even a gamer's channel anymore.
It's become the new MTV of a music channel that doesn't play music videos.
It's more of the, hey, let's go ahead and butt-fuck the public with some stupid reality garbage like Cops and just play that all day and let that just drone on.
And they'll play movies like RoboCop 3 under this like movies that don't suck block, which RoboCop 3 is supposed to suck. The irony.
Well, I'm sorry. It sucked. I thought it was more like Swallow. And some of the nasty stuff on there, I wouldn't even regurgitate on a good day. Seriously, so, Comcast really needs to go ahead and get, like I said, their board of directors or their programming board really need to get their heads out of their asses too. And maybe give us back our tech fucking TV.
We can all dream the dream, Steve.
Oh, hey, you know, enough people have petitioned it. It's because fucking Comcast and whoever owns G4 right now, which I think is Comcast, doesn't want to go ahead and listen to what the public wants to hear. I'm sorry. Okay, my rant's done. I'm sorry. There we go. Yeah. Sorry.
You're fine.
It's just one of those soapbox things. I'm sorry.
Everyone hates G4. It's totally okay and understandable.
I think it doesn't even get good ratings because DirecTV doesn't even carry it anymore. They dropped it.
Right. And the only reason that it's even got a following right now is because Cop Lemmings. They follow Cops. Oh, gotta watch Cops.
And Cheaters. Don't forget Cheaters.
Oh, yeah. Can't forget Cheaters. Oh, my God.
They took the afternoon popular shows that used to be on UPN in the afternoons and put it on G4 TV.
Yeah, the ones that are popular like, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago?
Yeah.
This is the podcast where I remember why I stopped watching TV like 5 years ago.
I really only watch Adult Swim and if there's movies on Spike. And
I don't even watch Adult Swim anymore. You know, I mean, it's just gotten too late. Yeah, there I'm just getting too old. Yeah. It's probably I'm too old.
I think TCM it starts earlier now.
TCM will play a pretty good movie every once in a while. Go ahead, John.
I think Adult Swim actually starts earlier than it used to.
With King of the Hill. I mean, that's not a bad show.
King of the Hill, come on. I mean, this show is so many repeats. Actually, they've actually turned over 2 seasons already since the beginning of summer. They repeated 2 seasons already.
I mean, there's a total of, like, what, 13, 14?
Something like that, yeah. Uh-huh. And the thing is, they do, like, 2-hour blocks of King of the Hill. I mean, I'm sorry, but, I mean, you can only take so much of Texan rednecks drinking beer in a back alley where there's a couch.
Well, I tell you what, Steve, you better not be talking about that King of the Hill there.
Should mention that news story about the guy who used the Bobby Hill ID card, and he managed to buy beer with it, even though it said he was 17.
This guy used a fake ID but had Bobby Hill on it. This kid's like 17, and he got liquor from like 6 or 7 stores in like England, and they just didn't care. I honestly think they even didn't care. They're like, this kid's pretty awesome for doing this. I'll give him some beer. I'll give him some schnapps. True story, dude.
That's got to be it. It's like, oh, you're pretty cool. I like that. Yeah. Right. Yeah, kid King off of the Hill, I love that show.
We need to get this kid off the show, man.
God. All right, I need to put the hammer down. We need to get back on topic.
Yeah. Back on topic. Jubei.
Yeah, Jubei. We haven't really talked about, like, how this thing starts. Like, it shows, like, Jubei on a bridge walking with a rice ball, and then some people, like, attack him with spears underneath the bridge, and he, like, throws the rice ball in the air, which I have to imagine that it was high enough to orbit around the moon a couple of times before it came back to Earth, which was enough time for Jubei to, like, take all the people on the bridge and then, like, chop that guy in, like, it was like a midget inside of, like, a stilt
suit.
Some sort
of ancient Japanese robot suit, because it was made of wood and had a gun arm.
Yeah.
A gun arm. Oh, God, I remember that. Jesus.
And then he crashes his rice ball or something, and then the guy's like, you shouldn't have, like, you're getting paid too cheap for this sword that you're supposed to transport. And he's just like, oh, they're poor. I got nothing better to do. I'm off.
That tells you everything you need to know about Jubei. He'll be totally flip, and he's totally awesome. I love, if there's anything I like about this movie, and there are many things, but I really like Jubei's attitude towards everything around him.
Especially, don't care.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, yeah, I'm around. Whatever. Gotta kill some sort of stone monster, man. Okay.
Well, I like...
All right, here he is. Here's a chip.
Yeah, speaking of stone monster guy, he gets introduced to him because, like, he's in the same house as when the stone monster guy takes the ninja girl to try to rape her. And, like, obviously the stone monster guy, like, I couldn't tell if he was trying to, like, have deep sex with her or trying to eat her at the same time, because he engulfed that boob like it was freaking Jell-O, dude.
He gets the... some men would be satisfied with sucking a nipple every now and then. This man puts the whole boob in his mouth.
In his mouth, yeah.
After he gets done with that, he gets all the way up to her face, and he's like trying to eat her face.
Her mouth. Yes. I'm like, I don't know if you're trying to, like, eat her.
I have an erection, but I'm also super hungry.
Well, I mean, he did say he would be okay with raping a dead girl.
Yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Well, back then you take what you can get, so necrophilia wasn't a term that they didn't invent.
No.
Seriously, what are you gonna get when you're a giant dude made of stone?
Yeah.
He's not always made of stone. He could apparently turn that on and off.
Yeah.
Nah, but I do love when Jubei walks up to him while he's trying to rape Kaguro, and he's like, what I love about that is not only when the stone guy walked in the room, he didn't notice that Jubei was just sort of sitting there, but also he tells him to get lost, and then Jubei just comes up and sits down next to them.
Yeah, like inches away from his face. It's like, so I took this highway here, and I need to figure out which split I need to go to this town. Can you help me with that? And then he, like, proceeds to cut his, like, hat open.
Oh, my best hat.
And then, of course, like, he stabs him in the eye with, like, a needle because she tried using a blade on her own. And then they get out of there.
I don't understand that from Kaguro's standpoint, because she starts to inch that blade out of her sleeve where she was carrying it. And I got to tell you, if I was being raped by a man literally twice my size, I would not be hesitating to stab him. I do not know what
he's stabbing you.
Yeah,
I do not know what she was waiting on, and it didn't work out for her.
Counterattack movement or a moment or something? I don't know.
Yeah, Jubei hits him in the eye after he turns to stone, which is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, then they meet up, and then she's like, "I'm alone. I don't need your help." And Jubei's like, "Whatever." And they just go their separate ways.
If you say so, and then he just walks off, and she starts crying because, well, that was probably pretty terrible.
Yeah, he's just like, sorry, I almost got raped, but I mean, you're not my problem. I'll see ya.
If you don't ask for Jubei's help or poison him so that he has no choice but to help you.
I forgot the old guy was such a dick in this, because I'm like, wait, why is Jubei? Because this is a movie that, like, it's good to forget it. Because when you go back to rewatch it again, everything's fresh and new in your mind of, like, how great this movie is. it's one of those movies. It's good to actually forget most of what happens, because when you, like, you know, I don't want to repeat myself again, but you get the point.
Because it could surprise you. There, yeah. I remembered a lot of the really general things, but when he goes to fight Snake Lady, when he's trapped underneath all of them, and well, not when he's trapped underneath all of them, but when he talks to the nun and the giant wall of snakes on the ceiling drops down, but first they form a big face like it's eating him. I had forgotten about that. That was unsettling.
That was just something you see when you're like eating shrooms or something, you know?
Well, there's like, certain
right
parts
there
of this
peeking,
movie.
You look up at the ceiling and here's this giant snake face. Oh my God!
They're everywhere.
I thought the part where like she battles a snake lady like at the end, holds her back like at the end, was towards the end of the movie. Like, I didn't know it was in the beginning, because like the snake comes out of the snake lady's gooch and you know, bites her on the leg, but then she just kind of shrugs it off, because at that point in the movie we don't know that the ninja girl is full of poison as her superpower in this, and so she can never feel man meat in her life, because she wound up killing the dude. She's like Rogue. Only she doesn't take their life, she just kills them.
Through your junk, the ultimate STD.
Yes. Well, and then also...
although I will say the ultimate... I would say out of all of the things that are kind of sexually odd in this, from the stone dude rape where he looks like he's trying to eat her, I think the creepiest thing is when Snake Lady is getting electrified and she's shaking back and forth, but because she's naked, it's also jiggling all over the place.
She goes to rigor mortis, like on the ground.
The only thing that's missing to make it comical is having that snake just like pop out of her cooch, going like a party favor.
It makes that sound. We discussed this earlier when we were watching it. We were trying to decide, okay, we know that it's impossible to count the amount of rapes there are in Wicked City, but what about Ninja Scroll? Okay, what about the snake thing? I don't know if that's rape. Well, who's getting raped, the woman or the snake?
I feel like the snake is. There is no way that was consensual.
You don't think the snake wanted to be up there?
No, God, no. He's like, well, I need to store a snake somewhere. No, most of my body is already covered.
Yeah, but the snake is like, one sniff is like, oh no, I'm not going in there, man. I'm sorry.
Oh God.
Well, no, he first meets up with the snake lady in the water house after his fight with the rock dude, which the rock dude starts disintegrating. Well, he first beats the crap out of Jubei to a pulp. But then Jubei's able to grab his sword with like the special technique of tying like a fishing line to it, and then using it to like grapple it to him or something. And he's got like this ninja attack that like cuts him in half. But then also the blade comes back and hits the rock dude in the head. But the rock dude is still alive and still wants to take out Jubei.
His boomerang double greatsword hits him in the center of his brain. He doesn't die until he slides all the way down it, leaving this enormous streak of blood.
It's like that part in the Fist of the North Star movie where like Ray like puts an axe to that dude's head and he's like I have a splitting headache or something. And Ray's like, that doesn't look too good.
It's important to know that how tough these guys are, because earlier in the movie, before Jubei becomes a part of this bigger thing with fighting the eight devils of Kimon, you see this small clan with their ninja and they end up fighting Stone Dude, and he pulls a guy's arms off.
Yeah, which we meet up later in the movie, because he's like, he's got his mouth stitched up and everything. We'll get to that though.
Yeah, but that was actually, that's a pretty creepy moment too, when he's sitting there drinking the blood out of that guy's arm.
It's like Gatorade, the fruit punch type.
It's like Go-Gurt.
Exactly.
I gotta get my electrolytes.
Must get electrolytes. Electrolytes, good.
Well, he's looking down at the girl and he's going, gar, 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 gar.
With his giant face.
I think his mouth
grew wider just so he could drink that blood.
Jeez.
And you might look down on Kagero from running away from a monster despite being a ninja. But you know what? Giant stone dude drinking your best friend's arm juice. I think that's a reason to run away.
Yeah. But I think regarding like sex scenes, you've got like the Shogun dude like going at it with that other girl in his room as he's doing his business of talking, like he's like talking over the mission with the ninja girl, and then she's just like, she's probably thinking, I wish that was me, but it's not.
I can't have sex. I will kill the person. God damn it.
You know
what?
That's not
actually true. I mean, there's one word that nobody ever mentions throughout the entire thing. Anal.
I don't think
that's going to help.
I don't know. Maybe they don't have protection. Maybe you could just wear condoms.
Oh my word.
Maybe like...
Really?
I think oral would also inflect too. Like the only way you can do it would be like as a hand job.
Oh yeah, my. Didn't she say that like even a kiss from my lips could kill you instantly? Because
that's how she turns his poison, right? By kissing him at the end.
Yeah, because they don't actually end up having sex. Although the old man thinks that they did and probably ran away to think about that.
No, I was going back to the. I was trying to get to the water part when he meets the snake lady because, like, he's, of course, being a samurai during this time, you're able to do your own dental work. So I guess he's got enough teeth missing in the back of his mouth that he's like probably looks like a hockey player.
Literally,
he's just kind of like
no molars left. I've got my front teeth. I've got my canines, and then that's it.
But then, like, he goes to like, and then this like he's able to like.
It's like Wayne Gretzky's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
So Wayne Gretzky's Canadian-Japanese?
Yeah, there you go. Somewhere down the line.
Well, you know what they don't actually call Wayne Gretzky at all, but I'm going to give him this nickname now. He's the Samurai of the Ice. he meets up with Snake Lady in the bath because somehow when Stone Dude – was fighting Jubei, he left an imprint of Jubei's face on his hand, which left an imprint of it on the ground, so Snake Lady knows what he looks like. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I forgot about that part, too, but like, she's able to shed her skin as soon as he tries to like grab her, after he cuts up like, all the other like snakes that's trying to attack him, and then she just like disappears, and you're like, huh, okay.
Yeah, it's like she can teleport right out of her skin, because she doesn't like come out of it.
Yeah,
there, but she's then, kind of gone.
But then also, like, you get to meet the old monk dude who apparently poisons Jubei with a poison, so then he can help him take down Genma by transporting gold or whatever, which is the other main underneath plot to this whole thing. Because that's how it moves the story along.
That's the big overarching thing, and the reason that the old man, who is a government spy, is involved. But really, the movie is about I want to have sex with this girl and can't, and Genma is a dick. Got to kill him.
Genma is the Victor Kruger of this movie.
Yeah. Except that he couldn't reincarnate himself, as the dub repeatedly calls his power.
I mean, funny if like they quoted Highlander quotes in this. He's like, I have something to say, Jubei. It's better to fade out, or better to burn. Or, yeah, it's better to fade out than to burn away, or something. No, it was.
It's better to burn out than to
fade away.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. Yeah. I mean, I like Richard Epcar and all, but I would have been totally okay if Genma had been played by Clancy Brown.
I know his name, Jubei.
That's a while off, though, because even though we hear about Genma about halfway through the movie, he doesn't even really appear until the very end.
Yeah. Well, you see him in the movie, and like they're able to talk with each other. Instead of using cans, they could just use fishing line to like put it in their mouths, and they're able to hear each other.
I don't know if that's I don't know if it's just supposed to be that, or it's because that's the electric guy, so he can basically act as a telephone. Which that would suck. I have the ability to electrocute anyone around me. I need long distance service. What are your rates?
Oh my word.
Like the Genma's crew consists of the bee dude boss or mini boss, and then there's the lady that can turns anything into C4 explosives. Then there's the blind ninja. There's the snake lady. I think we already mentioned the electric guy, which he's like gay or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he's Genma's male lover.
And there's the shadow dude.
Shadow dude is interesting because other than Genma, Jubei doesn't actually win any of his fights totally on his own except for Shadow Guy. And Shadow Guy's power apparently is really terrible because of the way Jubei kills him. He just stabs the shadow.
He just throws the sword at where like the claw is, because it's like, okay, the claw is coming from this direction, just throw it in that direction. Oh, wait, I won.
Well, geez, yeah, I mean, that's the same thing about fight. Why don't you stab him with a flashlight, for Pete's sakes?
That would have been awesome if he had like lit up the shadow and he can't hide in it anymore, but he's still in the wall, so he just gets crushed to death.
Yeah, well, like Jubei is like when Jubei fought the bee dude, the wasp guy. Like as soon as he's in that house, like he's able to like cut like all the flower bag above him, which was able to block all the wasps from coming at him. But then he's got the water to help him in that boss fight because he's able to hide underneath. Because and then the water winds up helping him by defeating the bee guy because the bees can't escape, and they wind up stinging the dude.
I don't think that Ninja Scroll has a bad dub, but there's something really odd about the way that Bomb Lady's lines are delivered when she and Blind Ninja Guy are watching Bee Guy fight Jubei. When Bee Guy falls underwater and shoots his hidden throat needle at
Jubei. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he does that, and all of it goes back up to Bomb Lady and Blind Guy standing in the tree, and she goes, "The ninja has fallen victim to the throat needle." And she says it just like that, and it is the most awkward line in the movie.
See, I've only got the subtitle version on VHS. That's the only version I've seen, so I haven't really seen the dub. I thought I had it.
It's I understand. Now we have a DVD that has an interview with Kawajiri about the movie and an interview with Wendy Lee, who played Kaguro, and the guy who played Jubei, whose name I can't remember.
Dean something.
Dean Wine?
Yeah, that's... He had, like, 6 roles in anime ever.
Yeah, he's not exactly a big-time anime voice actor, but he, that interview is not very interesting because it's not really about Ninja Scroll. It's actually just about them talking about anime voice acting, which contains the most hilarious this hilarious thing where Wendy Lee talks about, "I really feel like our industry is doing stuff now that Spirited Away has won an Oscar."
Wait, that's what she said?
Yeah, she actually said that. And I was like, I wonder if after this interview she thought to herself, do you think they took me seriously when I said that thing about the Spirited Away Oscar? And David Wine would have been like, yeah, I think they bought it. I mean, I like anime, guys, but come on.
Well, I mean, this was done during a period where, like, voice acting was kind of starting to get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot better in terms of quality now than in what it used to be, obviously, in the past 2 decades. But
yeah, that was around the time when we were starting to come around the bend from crappy Dragon Ball dubbing and
Robotech dubbing and
dubbing the songs from Bubblegum Crisis.
You know, they got Steve's gone. He's went to the bathroom, so we can talk about Bubblegum Crisis music. I mean, I give him credit for doing that. I can't hate on Anime Ego for trying to do their own English versions of the song.
Meh.
Because I still enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that you could talk about Ninja Scroll, because the plot is there, but I think that a lot of the movie is comprised of Jubei now fights this superpower, which is not a bad thing. I think actually all the fights in Ninja Scroll are pretty worthwhile.
But it's just another underdog versus, you know, world domination dictatorship type crap again.
Man, I don't think Jubei is an underdog at all, because he freaking went Hokuto no Ken on like 800 ninjas at that village.
Well, so did Rurouni Kenshin.
Well, this did come out before Rurouni Kenshin. But Jubei isn't a punk. He lets people die. He's not about pacifism.
Yeah.
Jubei kills when it's necessary.
Which is all the time.
Yeah.
It's hard to get your footing with this movie because there's so many interesting things to talk about. I started thinking about the doggy style meeting again. I think the thing that's most interesting about that is that when Kaguro comes in to give her a report, he stops having sex with that woman. But once he starts talking and giving Kaguro her orders, that's when he starts back up again. For a brief time, he thought it was important to listen, but after that, it's just, you know, whatever.
He's like, I'll listen to what you have to say, but when I speak, you have to listen to me and my woman for the night.
There's no pause button when I'm talking to you, see?
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. Kagura's part of the fight with B-Guy, where she has the infinite flower petals up her sleeve.
Yeah, well, she's able to use it as a defense, and then when B-Guy dies, they all die off, so...
Yeah, they just stop caring. It's like, oh, B-Guy's dead, whatever.
We're free!
Freedom!
We don't have to stay in this man's back anymore.
Yeah, maybe he, like, conquered the bees like how Souther did in Fist of the North Star, where he had, like, to kidnap all those children. He didn't really, like, the bees never willingly came with them. It was, like, they forced them to come with them. And they had to work with him as long as he's alive. And then once he's dead, they're like, we're back to our own stuff. We're so sorry for making your day terrible. We had to follow him. But now that he's dead, we're out of here.
Does that mean that he was having a tiny bee pyramid built in honor of himself?
And then he had the shoe bee carry up the final top of the bee pyramid to the very top.
It crushes him, and then when Jubei killed him, he realized the error of his ways. And his old bee master, he realized that he shouldn't have killed his emotions.
I got past that. I'm actually past that part in Fist of the North Star. I'm actually at episode 74 right now, so we'll have to talk. It's right past the battle between Toki and Rao.
Oh, okay.
And I just found, then there's another person, I think it's the last person of the South Star. It's Ryuga shows up.
Oh, yeah, Ryuga. I barely remember him at all.
But after we kill B-Guy, we get the...
Blind swordsman.
Yeah, we get the blind swordsman, who is... His fight is interesting because that's another one of the... I feel like Jubei sort of wins by luck and not... Which I like that about Jubei. I like that that his fighting isn't always super clean, that sometimes he just gets really lucky and wins a fight anyway.
Yeah, this is sort of a stupid fight anyways. Like, it didn't last that long. I mean, it was cool to look at, but...
It's not the most interesting fight because he doesn't have a normal superpower. He just has really good perception from his ears.
He was using his soul to see, like Shu did.
Yeah.
And then, which apparently his soul can't detect when a blade's stuck in a bamboo tree. And he got confused between, like, the Ninja Girl's blade and his. And then that's how and he got stabbed in the gut.
Yep. And that fight's kind of unfortunate because it doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything else that goes on around it. I mean, at least there was some progression with Bomb Lady and Stone Guy, but Blind Swordsman, he just shows up, fights Jubei, dies, and then we don't care anymore.
Well, they needed to make sure that all eight demons were dead.
Well, then we get introduced. Well, we've seen this girl already, but we really get introduced to the before the Blind Swordsman dude. We get introduced to the lady who's in charge of bombs. So he filled the guy up with, like, who got his arms ripped off by the rock dude earlier in the movie. She basically fills him up with, like, C4, and then he just, like, explodes, like, part of a cliff off or something, and they're able to climb their way up.
While holding onto that fishing line, which would really hurt.
Yeah, I'm like, you can't grab a line that small to lift yourself up. You would have to be using all the muscles in your fingers and thumbs to be able to, like, lift yourself up that way, not the whole hand and arms.
No, that thing would be too small.
Yeah, it's like, Kawajiri, whatever. Let's get on. What else you got for me?
I got a shadow dude that can put drugs up a girl's vagina so that he can mind control her. That's what I got.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's able to finger bang the ninja girl.
Spits on his fingers, goes in once, we get the moan, and then all of a sudden she's attacking Jubei because...
she's possessed.
Yeah, I don't know.
Super roofies.
Applied directly to the vagina.
Yeah.
That would be a really awkward bar scene. It's like, hold on, I need to fix your drink. And he hits her over the head with it so that she passes out.
Lifts up the skirt and he's just like,
waiter comes by. Hey, I brought your I can see that you're busy. He wants to interrupt them because he knows that it's wrong, but he doesn't want to jeopardize the tip.
He's like, I could say how immoral this is, but I do work at a bar and I see everything. just going to go walk away until they finish.
Yeah, Shadow Guy doesn't go out very interestingly because Yubei just, like we said, he just throws the sword at the shadow, and then Shadow Guy comes out of the shadow with the sword on his back and then falls on the sword so that it cuts him in half.
Yeah, but then also we get to the scene where, because the whole time between, like, these battles, you get this back and forth between, like, the old dude and the ninja girl and Yubei. And pretty much what the old dude or the monk told the ninja girl is that, oh, you're full of poison. Well, poison counteracts poison, so you can save Yubei, which I don't know how that works with science.
Yeah. Well, if we poison Yubei too much, his hit points will loop back around. It'll go back to normal.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if this is anti-poison poison. I'm not sure if this works as, like, the pH scale where you have, like, acidic poison and base poison. And if the two meet each other, they cancel out. I don't know if Kawajiro was thinking just that way.
We didn't talk about it, but the old guy poisons you by throwing a shuriken at his shoulder. Was it just, like, a shuriken coated in bleach?
Yeah.
Kaguro is filled with, like, orange juice.
Or so he assumes. Like, he's not even a scientist. Like, he didn't, like, okay, I need a blood sample to figure out what kind of poison you have to see if it'll counteract the poison I put in Yubei. He's just like, yeah, I think it'll work. I think you just got to get it on with him and ride him for a few minutes, and he'll be fine.
Considering that the old man is a total dick, maybe that was just part of it. Like, if it saves Yubei, cool. If it kills Yubei, not my problem.
Yeah, but then Yubei, he plays it off. He's just like, no, I don't need your sex right now. The mission's more important. Which, I don't know if, like, you could... Oh, go ahead.
When we watched the interview that they did with...
Kawajiri.
With Kawajiri on the DVD, that one was actually somewhat about Ninja Scroll, and he talked about how one of his greatest challenges as a director was trying to weave in this tender, emotional part with Yubei and Kaguro in between all of the super awesome fights. And I don't know if he necessarily succeeded in doing that, except for in this point where I actually kind of get the feeling from Yubei that when she offered herself to him, it was because he turned it down because he didn't want her to have sex with him because she felt obligated to do it. So he just sort of walked off.
It wouldn't be out of love. It would just be out of, oh, this is a benefit to you.
This is a thing that I have to do.
Yeah, because like everyone's first reaction watching this is like, oh, Yubei must be gay. And it's just like, no, there's probably a lot more to it.
No,
like,
that's right.
That's what you told me. And I'm just, I kind of expected an answer from that, but I played it off as like, well, there's obviously some reasons I can think of. One, Yubei probably doesn't have like 3 hours to, you know, do her in really good and then try to get over to the boat in time. He's a lover that takes his sweet, loving time with women.
I would rather die with my reputation of a great lover than have a quickie and totally suck at it.
Yeah, see, that's one thing. Or, like, it might be just the honor system. Like, the whole thing with, you know, with her getting on with him, it's just like, you know, she's only doing it as an obligation, not really out of love. And I know that's not what I want from a woman. I mean, that's a kind of an honor system, too, so... And I like that in movies. So, or if someone actually can portray that.
Not that I think Yubei wouldn't have totally wanted to bang her. I think he just wanted her not to do it because she felt like she had to.
Yeah, it's gotta come from the heart.
And there's no greater vagina than the one you offer with your love.
Yes. There is no greater hard on than your heart.
We're going to launch our final attack on the Shogun of the Dark.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we ever see the actual Shogun of the Dark. Because the plan is that this takes place after the Tokugawa Shogunate has sort of become the ruling state of Japan. But one of the clans that lost out during the Warring States period, the Ieyasu, Toyotomi, they were like, fuck that. So they amassed all of this gold so that they could raise an army and take the country back over. And Gemma's like, nah, that's stupid. I'm just going to kill you all and take the gold myself.
Well, then they come up with a ply to, like, that I guess they massacre that village to make it look like it was a plague. So then it evacuates the villagers around the area. So then no one's going to know what they're going to do, which is pretty smart.
Yeah, I think like the reserves of gold were in that village that they were at, so they had to get everyone to leave so that nobody would ask questions about it.
Yeah. No, but then like we get to the village and like the bomb lady is able to destroy the electric dude because that little like clock tower place because she's apparently screwed her over once too many times.
I remember it was because Bomb Lady wanted to have sex with Electric Dude, but he's gay for Gemma, so he's not going to do that. And so she's like, if I can't have you.
She's able to compact like 30 pounds of C4 into like a little like field mouse because that sucker ignites like
that whole
tomorrow.
Blows up.
That whole 10 blocks of pan gets exploded.
I love her reaction to it, too, because she specifically reports to Gemma, says, I guess he accidentally set off my trap. What a dumbass. Oh.
Yeah, it was like 5 seconds after. He's like, oh, look, electric guy died. What are you going to do? Make me your favorite woman. And Gemma's just like, all right.
Gemma strikes me as the kind of person, I got to put my dick in something. He's like an evil Freddie Mercury.
Well, no, like we first get introduced to Gemma, and my first idea of looking at him in that chin is like a Bill Cowher chin, the ex head coach for the Steelers. If you remember what he looks like,
yeah, he's got that really really powerful chin, which really defined facial features is a thing that Caligiuri's art style does, but Gemma specifically.
Well, you could also say maybe Gemma's related to Bean Bandit in some way because Bean's got a hunkin' chin too. So
that's true. And he was similarly immortal, so maybe that is right.
Yeah. Somewhere along the bloodlines before Gemma gets encased in gold at the bottom of the ocean, he spread his seed to some woman, which 300 or 400 years later made the writing Bean.
Well, it was all worth it.
It was.
Yeah. Where do the walnuts fit into that, though?
Well, I mean, we never see Gemma eat through any walnuts, but he is a man that can swim through liquefied gold, so he's probably pretty tough.
Yeah.
We go in the boat, and the old man, he's inspecting all of the gold, and Bomb Lady shows up. He has this really cool plan because she carries all of her gunpowder around with her, and he throws some oil at her, and he's like, I'm going to light you up. But she throws a shuriken at the candle to put it out, and it's just so totally awesome what happens next.
Yeah, because then Jubei's sitting at the stairs with a candle lit, I can just see the like, one-liner of,
Did I ruin your plans? Jubei's just sitting back there, not at all.
Not really.
It's like a Schwarzenegger quote of like, it just got a little hotter in here, and he just like lights the gas.
Oh, that's awesome.
No! And then like that only like annoys Genma, like where apparently he's like, only one man can blow up my ship like that. Jubei.
He's sitting in the office after he's sort of taken over the Shogun of the Dark's position and just is like, ah crap, the boat's blowing up. I'm gonna lose so much money in gold right now. Oh well, better go.
Tell everyone to evacuate, I'll call them later.
Which, like, the battle itself for the final battle is, like, totally awesome in every way, because then obviously Jubei gets another beating of hell, like, upon him for, like, 20 seconds of, like, nonstop punches.
There are... My favorite part
Genma
of the...
went Hokuto no Ken on Jubei this time. I was just like, man, I can feel that.
There are two parts of this fight that I really like. There's the part where Genma throws Jubei against a beam in the ship and just starts beating him for a solid 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I think I know what you're going to talk about, Jake.
Yeah, no, my favorite part is where they end up being on the floor and Jubei just keeps repeatedly headbutting Genma into the ground so much so that his face has like collapsed in on itself.
That was another thing of this movie I forgot that I thought like, oh my god, that is awesome to see again that I totally forgot about.
That's
punch the hell out of him.
That part is so awesome because a headbutt, like two, maybe three, you really expect Gemma to do something about it at that point, but he just keeps going like 20 times, pounding Gemma into the ground like he's a nail.
It's like you said, it's like the end of the Amano VA,
where he just keeps punching him in the stomach for 20 minutes. Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
But then apparently it finishes Gemma off. Like he loses limbs, and then Gemma just picks it up and reattaches it. He's like, as you can see, I am immortal, Jubei.
Yeah, there's a point where he just starts pounding Jubei in the back going, I can't die. Why won't you stop? God damn it.
But then, he cuts him up the middle as he's on the ground, and then as his body's getting sewn like back together magically. That's when the gold encases him, and Jubei's trying to climb out of the ship, and then like you see, it's like a monster, and Jubei's got that line of like, "Enjoy Gemma, your gold hell,
burn in your golden hell."
Yeah, and then cuts his arm off, which obviously Gemma is doomed to be at the bottom of the sea, encased in gold for quite a few hundred years.
I've heard that. For a long while we've been hearing about Ninja Scroll 2, and I heard once that the plot of that was going to be that Gemma had managed to claw himself back up from the bottom of the ocean somehow.
What I like to think is that what happens is that when he hit the bottom of the ocean, the gold broke off of him, and he used the still falling gold bricks to climb back up, literally.
Jumping up them like a Mario level?
Yeah.
I was thinking of if you ever watched the animated Superman series,
the one from Tim the 90s. Paul Dini one,
yeah. Remember the episode when we get introduced to Metallo and Superman like knocks him at the bottom of the ocean, and then like you see Metallo literally walking on the floor of the ocean like on the way back to Metropolis because apparently he knows where he's going. That's how I imagined Jubei to like crawl his way out of the ocean was just like Metallo did.
Just like walk on the bottom of the sea until he gets back. Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. That sounds about right.
Because they're really not far off the coast in this one, so I can imagine Genma like it would be a shorter trip than what Metallo took. So
yeah. But that's where everything sort of ends, and the old man is like, "Well, pff, you lost Kaguro, but I'll pay you, and you're not poisoned anymore." But it turns out, I think the implication at the end there is like the old man was going to take Jubei to the capital and then kill him or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, because he's just like, you should come collect your reward. And then Jubei like cuts the gold, like the gold block off of him. And he's like, we're even, and I never want to see you again. And get out of my face.
Yeah. The old man, at the end. Yeah, Jubei just sort of walks off and is back to being a wandering samurai. It's actually a pretty good ending. I like that Jubei ends sort of in the same place that he started off as. And
yeah,
just,
it's like he's on to another adventure, kind of. So
yeah, it gives us the adventure.
He's on to
continues.
Ninja Scroll the series.
Yeah, the TV show. Walks onto a different set.
Pretty much.
I guess that's about it. I mean, I think we pretty much covered what we need to say about Ninja Scroll.
Yeah, that interview with Kawajiri was interesting. He talked about stuff like being influenced by the Wachowski brothers, and apparently they're big fans of his too. He talked about they asked him, why do you think Ninja Scroll was so big in the States? And he said, I think it's because I made it take place in this part of Japan, but I didn't make it have anything to do with that time period, really, so you don't have to know what's going on to really understand the movie.
Yeah, you don't really need to know the politics because there's really no politics in this.
No, there's bad, evil people with superpowers, and there's one cool guy with a samurai sword, and he can beat the shit out of them.
Well, that's why I kind of mentioned this. It really compares to like the Man with No Name movie trilogy, where obviously the Clint Eastwood movies are those. Like Fistful of Dollars and A Few Dollars More and Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's taken place during like the end of the Civil War, like somewhere between 1880 and 1890 maybe. But that doesn't really specifically, there's nothing important you need to know about that era. It's the fact that, that's the time period, but the movie's focused around the character and a struggle and the story behind that. Not really anything outside of that.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a Ninja Scroll. It's pretty good. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's one of those things that you probably should watch at some point. You probably need to watch it. It's one of those big deal shows.
Yep.
It's a bigger deal than like trying to. If someone tells you to watch either Evangelion and Ninja Scroll, you need to pick Ninja Scroll first.
Damn you!
Just do the right thing and watch Ninja Scroll first.
You already saw Ninja Scroll first, so no yelling at me for that.
I still would have picked watching Ninja Scroll over watching Ava for the first time.
I gotta defend Ava, so I mean, I love the series, I own it, so I'm proud to own it.
But yeah, I know, but this included End of Ava.
Don't be mean.
That's an essential movie to watch, too.
I stand by that decision. Yes, you needed to watch that.
Yeah, you had to see End of Evangelion, and then you're like, it's a complete thing to watch it like that, but even though the movie made no sense. And then you can go on the internet and then try to like spend months of your time researching the whole meaning of that movie, which has been explained to me, and I completely forget about it because it just doesn't stick that well.
Yeah.
More or less.
But this isn't 2001 where it's a required American otaku knowledge that you have to know the true meaning of End of Evangelion.
It's more important that you just sort of watched it.
Yeah, and experience it. And that's how it is now, so... But I think we're done.
Yeah.
Unless Josh and John had anything to say about this.
No, I think you guys pretty much covered everything I had to say.
John, I actually like to know what he thinks CG would have said about this. In CG's own words.
You think you can summon CG for this moment?
Oh, CG. CG, where are you?
Quick, someone pull out a Ouija board.
CG, you're trying to get it.
Ray, are you really using a Ouija board? The message is I really got nothing. That's what CG said, not Josh.
How disappointing.
So, yeah. Internet must be really bad in the other Negaverse world of where CG is.
The home front.
There still might be, I don't know.
Such a shame. Such a shame. Oh, well.
Oh, wait, no. No, I think I can summon him. I want to get a golden shower just like that guy did.
Ugh. Boy.
CG. Yeah. You're disgusting, CG.
That's just nasty.
You guys aren't expecting to know about this. And
no, I just sort of took that as it came to me.
Yeah. But I guess we can do final remarks. Or closing remarks. Steve?
Coming to you live. Sunday. Operators are standing by.
The man double Gomez.
This was a lot more awkward to watch when I was 10 years old.
I have to give you credit for watching this at 10 years old because I didn't see this until I was like 20 something, so.
Yeah, it was awkward back then. It was still cool, but. Eh.
Yeah.
I can appreciate it more now.
I stand by what I said earlier, where Ninja Scroll is one of the – it's a big deal anime, and you should take the time to watch it, however you may need to go about doing that. But also, I was looking through my pictures folder, and I have a treasure map with a bear on it.
What?
That doesn't have any relevance.
Is that where to find a bear, or do you need the bear for the treasure map?
No, it's just sort of on the path. It's a desert island with palm trees, but there's just a bear on the path. Also,
I figured you were the bear.
Also, do you remember it was this game called Seen It? Do you remember that?
That came out a few years ago.
Yeah, it was an old thing. Apparently, at some point, I made a joke Photoshop where I made a Xbox Live version of it, but it's Seen It for MD Geist.
Oh, I remember that.
It's the most dangerous game. Yeah, that's right. It was the most dangerous game, and we decided that it was an MD Geist Seen It.
I've seen the picture of that online. Did you actually do the Photoshop of that?
Is it a picture of just the Scenic box with the MD guy's cover stretched over it? Because yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
I think I did that.
Awesome. I've seen that on the interwebs like a year ago or so.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know where it was. Maybe it might have been on like Google or something.
Yeah, I remember.
You heard it here, folks. Joe created the MD Guy Scenic game cover.
The most dangerous game. I remember creating that.
You're gonna put that in show notes.
And in light of what's happened today. And what is today's date anyway? It's August 25th, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see. Yesterday was the 2-year anniversary. We lost the great Satoshi Kon, director of like Perfect Blue. Yeah.
Yep.
Jerry Nelson, you know, a guy who was behind The Count with the Muppets and Sesame Street.
Yep.
And today we lost Neil Armstrong.
I was going to say that.
Really?
82, yeah.
I did not hear about that. Wow.
Yeah,
it was like announced like middle of this afternoon today.
3:33 to be exact. It was 3:33 when it was released.
He turned 82 recently, like in this past month, but then like a couple weeks ago, he had like heart surgery. Ago. Okay. So he had an operation, but apparently he died from clogged arteries.
He failed the stress test.
Okay.
And he went under the knife for that, and the trauma from the surgery and his age just was too much for him. And well, we know what the end result is.
Mm.
82 isn't a bad age to go out on.
No, like, you know, yeah. I mean, I like I said on my Facebook, he was given a good ride.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be remembered for years on end, as long as he's in the textbooks.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you got?
Watch Ninja Scroll. Don't watch Michael Bay's Ninja Turtle thing.
Well, I don't know. We don't even know if it's going to be made now.
Well, yeah, but
one could hope.
I'm just hoping they completely trash that script. I mean, that was awful. They need to.
Oh my god.
I didn't even get to really rant about it, but it was just terrible. Just terrible.
We need to salvage some of the script. What do you think is savable? The cover page says that it's about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Okay, that's enough.
The rest is just toilet paper in my bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seriously, even throw away the name of the author.
And that's after I've eaten a bad burrito at Beto's.
No, you throw away the name of the author after you freaking like shove the script up his own ass.
I've got to throw him into the Nile River.
I've got to run to the bathroom, sit on my Michael Bay, and take a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle script.
Awesome.
John, what do you got?
You know how they found like enough precious metals at the bottom of the ocean of Japan to power like their technology for like 100 years or something? Like a few months ago? I bet that was Genma.
They find this golden man, jam him in the reactor, alright.
All of Japan's energy problems all are solved now.
The only ninja-powered economy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to end on R.I.P. Neil Armstrong. So, and we'll see you guys next week for Wicked City.
Woo! Mission completed.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cybernauts Cast. Do you want more of what we got? If so, check us out over at our website at cybernautscast.wordpress.com. If you wish to leave us an email on, well, anything, then shoot one over at cybernautscast@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review, why don't you? We'll see you next week, same Cybernauts time, same Cybernauts channel.
Hajima. いらない君が笑ってそばにいればいい。遠い夏二人で歩いた浜辺座り、置き去りにした優しさを拾い集めよう。誰もが遠くでバラード今日も聞いている、さまよう心を抱き寄せる風のように。
I have something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.